From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Are Democrats softening their stance on Roland Burris? He is the former Illinois Attorney General named to take over the Senate seat the president-elect held. And why isn't Mr. Obama speaking out on the Middle East? Here to help analyze the latest political developments, we've got Democratic strategist Donna Brazile. She's an author and nationally syndicated columnist. And Robert Trainum, the D.C. bureau chief for the Comcast network CNN. How are you guys doing?
Fine. Well, Happy New Year.
Yes, welcome to 2009, and boy, are we off and running. Let's start out with a very serious topic, not like most of these aren't, but Gaza. And so the president-elect held a news conference this morning, and one of the big questions was why he hadn't spoken out more publicly about the violence in the Middle East. Here's what he had to say.
I will repeat what I've said before. We can't have two administrations running foreign policy at the same time. We simply can't do it. And so as a consequence, what I am doing is I am being briefed consistently. My national security team is fully up to speed on it. But the situation of domestic policy making and foreign policy making are two different things.
Robert, you have a situation where the president-elect has been speaking out consistently about the economy, but he also mentioned the attack in Mumbai, the terrorist attack in Mumbai. So why do you think he's making such a clear distinction between domestic issues and international issues and what he thinks he can speak on now?
Well, I think he's learning. He's learning exactly when the president should speak and when he should not speak. And obviously, he's not the president yet. But given the fact that the economic as well as the international situation is so dire, the president-elect and his advisors are saying, you know what, let's let the international incident play itself out. Let's let President Bush and Secretary Rice speak to this issue. But and as it relates to the economy, this is obviously where I have much more credibility. This is something where the American people are looking to him, meaning President-elect Obama, for leadership, because everyone knows with everything, but specifically with the economy, this is something that he is going to inherit. Literally within the next couple of days. So I think the president-elect is trying to have his cake and eat it too by saying, you know what, I want to engage fully on the economy, and let's let the situation over the Middle East unfold, and let's let President Bush speak on that issue.
Donna, this is one of the one of those moments in time where everyone sees a downside to speaking out, because there's very vociferous critics on both sides, or not just both sides, there are many sides to this issue of what's happening in Gaza. What do you think is important for someone in Mr. Obama's position to remember?
First of all, I think Mr. Obama is playing it just right. And it's not about his strengths or weaknesses. It's about, an international situation where it is clear that the president and the Secretary of State are both working in conjunction with our allies to determine what is the best course. They're, of course, now trying to figure out if it is possible for the UN to play a role in a peacekeeping role. This is a grave situation in the Middle East, and I don't think speaking out at a time when there are serious concerns about Hamas, using its missile capacity to send rockets into Israel, or Israel allowing not just humanitarian aid but other aid to get through. But longer term, President-elect Obama has said that the Middle East is going to be a priority. He understands that we have to get back to a two-state solution, that we have to find some common ground to ensure that both the Israelis and Palestinians are at the table, especially the Palestinian Authority. They seem to be the missing link in this whole category as well. But I think President-elect Obama is getting advice and briefing, daily briefings from Secretary Rice. And clearly on January 20th, this situation is not resolved. We will hear more from him.
All right, Robert, let me move on to the people who are going to be on Capitol Hill. We've got 50 new House members of the 111th Congress sworn in yesterday. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi was reelected to her post. On the Senate side, you still got a couple of question marks. One of them is Minnesota's Senate seat. And then you've got the other one, very high profile, Roland Burris, blocked from President-elect Obama's vacated seat, technically over some paperwork. But the question now is do you see, Robert, a softening on the side of Democrats as they look at the chess pieces on this one?
There is some softening. Harry Reid, the Democratic leader of the United States Senate, came out over the weekend and said that there's always room for negotiation. It's my understanding that he is sitting down with Senator Durbin, who is the senior senator from Illinois, and Roland Burr, the Senate designee, later on this afternoon to talk about this issue. Look, the fact of the matter is that there's one issue here that is dominating this conversation on the Democratic side. It's raw politics. If you take a look at the Constitution, and if you take a look at the qualifications for United States Senator, Mr. Burr definitely fits the qualifications hands down. In addition to that, regardless of what you or me or anyone else may think about Governor Blagojevich, he is still the sitting governor and he has the legal power to appoint a senator. In fact, the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution explicitly says that. Now, granted, he is under a cloud of controversy. There's no question about it. But from a legal standpoint, he is still the sitting governor, including to that is Senator Feinstein, who is the Democratic senator from California, who's the chair of the Senate Rules Committee that oversees this process. She came out early this week and says that virtually the same thing that I'm saying, is that Governor Blagojevich has the right to do this. The reason why the Democrats are dragging their feet on this is because they do not want a special election, number one, because they don't believe that they can keep that seat. But also, number two, the reason why they don't want Mr. Burris seated is because they don't believe that he can hold on to that seat in 2010, which is when he would be up for re-election.
Well, let me just jump in and get Donna in here, because I think that you've raised a number of different points. One of them, of course, about the governor being at this point, he's just straight up facing these federal corruption charges. In the end, a lot of people saw this as a very crafty move by the governor, but how does it affect the man who used to hold the Senate seat? We're talking about Mr. Obama, of course. Donna, how does it affect him, if at all?
Well, first of all, there's been a lot of backpedaling over the last 24 hours regarding this situation. And let me just say this. I think Harry Reid today, when he came out and made a statement that he had a very good meeting with Roland Burris. Roland Burris has returned to the state of Illinois, where he will go before the special legislative committee that is considering impeaching the governor to discuss his appointment, to make sure that it was done legally and proper, since so many of these allegations have been raised. There's also the issue of the Illinois Supreme Court and whether or not they will rule that he need to be certified by both the governor as well as Secretary of State. The Secretary of State, as you well know, Jesse White, an African-American, has stated that this is a technicality. But at the end of the day, the Senate Rules Committee will, at some point, I think, between now and the end of the week, receive this appointment. It will be a bipartisan hearing, and Roland Burris will be seated. I start with the conclusion that it is insulting and offensive to seat the appointee of the corrupt governor of Illinois. Unfortunately, the only thing worse than seating Roland Burris is the mess that will happen if he's not seated. So hopefully the committee, which apparently is considering what to do, will conclude that as ugly as it is and how it looks, the Senate is compelled to seat the person legally appointed by the governor of the state of Illinois. So this matter should be resolved, and we should go ahead and begin to see Roland Burris as the next United States Senator from the state of Illinois. I also said publicly that he should not have to agree to not running in 2010. That is insulting. I mean, let the people of Illinois make that decision.
Okay, I want to get to one more topic before we wrap up today, and that is Leon Panetta, the former chief of staff under President Clinton, selected by the Obama team to take over as the head of the CIA. And it came as a surprise to some key players in the Democratic Party, including apparently Senator Dianne Feinstein. Now, what is going on at this point? Has everyone made nice, Donna, within
no.
the—
No, no. It was a mistake not to consult the incoming chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee or the outgoing chair, Mr. Rockefeller. It was a mistake. President-elect Obama has called to apologize. Senator Biden said, the vice president-elect said, it was a mistake. Now, Senator Feinstein has made it very clear that she intends to hold hearings. Clearly, she had her own a pick. She had someone in mind.
Do we know who that is?
I believe he is the second in command now at the CIA, Mr. Bias, or I don't want to mispronounce anyone's name. But you know politics, and Robert, you know this, especially as Robert is a creature of the Senate, I'm a creature of the House. If you bypass or try to circumvent these senators, they will come back and tell you, excuse me, co-equal branch of government.
All right. And you get to weigh in, of course, Robert. What do you think, not just about the politics within Capitol Hill, but do you think that the fundamental questions about Leon Panetta, about his experience and whether he has enough in the intelligence arena, are those justified?
Yes and no. First and foremost, it is always justified to raise your thoughts and your opinions about whether or not someone is qualified or not to hold a very high-level position in government. There is no question about this, Farai, and Donna knows this as well, that Leon Panetta is a dedicated public servant who has been in and around Washington, D.C. for almost 40 years now as a former member of the Congress, obviously as White House Chief of Staff. He is qualified. There's no question about it. But to go back to Donna's point, which I totally agree with, this is all about an ego and a bruised ego. Now, granted, having said all of that, Senator Feinstein and Senator Rockefeller have a valid point. They should be consulted on these issues. But it's even more than that. It was a bruised ego, and President-elect Obama did the right thing by calling to apologize. Farai, welcome to governing. This is all about governing now, and he's going to make some mistakes moving forward.
Okay. Yeah. Well, each of you guys has literally like one sentence. What issue are you looking at in the week ahead? Donna?
Well, given the fact that we're about to have a transition in government, I am paying close attention to the rest of the president-elect's appointments, as well as this stimulus package. As Robert knows, the country is hurting right now. $1 trillion deficit, another $1 trillion on the way. I want to see if this will really produce jobs and not just some blue smoke and mirrors.
Okay, you really quick, Robert.
Very quickly, 1992, it was the economy, stupid. In 2009, guess what? It's the economy, stupid.
All right, we're back for seconds. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
We were speaking with Robert Trainum, the D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast Network, and Democratic strategist Donna Brazile, who joined us from NPR's headquarters in Washington.